The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today's podcast is over biotin, a B vitamin that is a $4 billion industry when it comes to supplementation. A lot of people take it for skin, hair, and nails, or just hair. And I guess I could save you a lot of time if you're not interested in the nuance. Biotin supplementation for most people is definitely not worth it. So perhaps you can skip the video. But biotin supplementation for my good friend James O'Hara is essential. So maybe you're interested to listen in and hear why. Welcome back to the Gillette Health Podcast, where we give you tools to develop a balanced approach for health. I'm Dr. Kyle Gillette.
And I'm James O'Hara, nurse practitioner. And today we're talking about biotin, specifically, I guess, more about biotin inborn errors of metabolism. So actually something you might be able to pick up on a organic acid test.
Ooh, interesting.
If you're a newborn.
If you're ordering organic acid tests on newborns, which is actually a great test as opposed to adults. Bio 10 of those tests when you're young, but not when you're old.
Clever play on words there. So biotin seems to me at least like a fairly boring B vitamin compared to some of the other more popular B vitamins that we talk about. Thiamine, depletion in alcohol, that's pretty interesting. That's pretty exciting. Biotin is called vitamin B7, and it has some sort of non-specific roles, but things do go wrong whenever you have a severe deficiency in the biotinidase enzyme.
Yeah, so, it helps with synthesis of fatty acids. We know there's some interplay between free fatty acid levels, biotin levels, and carnitine. True biotin deficiency is rare, but it also helps with gluconeogenesis, and there's association with alopecia, given that it's involved in both neural development and hair growth.
Yeah, so fortunately, I just have a partial biotinidase genetic mutation. And to be clear, I don't know yet how this correlates with my actual enzyme activity in the blood, so I'll be getting that test sometime in the future. But for now, I'm empirically supplementing with a mega dose of biotin, I suppose, in context of the RDA. And later we'll go through how that's affected my blood test results. But
So did you do an OATS test for that? Or how did you find out you have a deficiency? You just asked your GP?
I got some evidence-based genetic testing. So I'm not a huge fan, and I wouldn't trust the results with certainty from something like any consumer company that's not, you know, running things through a certified lab like Illumina. And depending on how many times they're reading these. So it was an Invitae test that I think does use Illumina, but they are a clinical grade test. So this is when you are specifically trying to verify inborn errors of metabolism or your
Ehlers-Danlos,
genetic hereditary cancers, those sorts of things.
Multiple endocrine neoplasia.
Yeah, you don't want to have a proprietary, unvalidated polygenic risk score. You want to use something that is viable, verifiable, and not necessarily just trying to give you a diagnosis or create a pathology where there's not one.
Yeah, that's a good summary. So I guess you got the, evidence-based testing, you got the results, and then you saw it said something about mutation and you freaked out and then called the self-service lab portal that you ordered this on.
I sent 15 emails, each about 2 minutes apart. Didn't hear anything back. So I frantically called and then texted into the clinic number.
Google reviews, Reddit.
Yeah, left a bunch of reviews. And then saw biotinidinase and biotin and figured I should probably take that stuff. That's the flow chart.
Fair enough.
Maybe we can put that up with a bunch of squiggly lines.
Yeah, the reason why we're laughing and we just kind of think this is funny is that there's a lot of these what we call self-service lab companies. You can go online. Technically, a healthcare provider still orders it, I think. But even for tests that are genetic tests or, tests that in general you would want to do some shared decision making before ordering. You can just order these and then, yeah, what happens if there's a test that is potentially leading to something that's clinically actionable?
Like a cancer antigen.
Yeah.
Just by itself, no context, no patient history.
Yeah, like a CA125.
Yeah, exactly.
Or a PSA. And if you have your average 70 to 80 year old male get a PSA on whatever these self-service lab portals, then yeah, they are very likely to be greater than 4. So anyway, that's a little bit of a tangent. Back into the biotin. Why supplement? Aren't you supposed to get these things through the diet? We're always emphasizing, you can get everything in the diet that you can via supplementation. It's just harder.
Yeah. And I think the RDA is around 30 micrograms, which is a very low amount relative to what, you know, your hair, skin, and nail supplements contain. So great sources are animal products, so like beef liver, eggs, salmon, pork, meats in general. And then some plant-based options would be things like avocado, sweet potato, nuts, and seeds. Mm-hmm. It would have been fun to do a little bit of math. Maybe someone can do this for us in the comments section. See, like, how much beef liver would I have to take in to get 10,000 micrograms of biotin?
A whole bottle of Gorilla Mind Argentinian beef liver freeze-dried.
Yeah, and I assume that I would get a vitamin A toxicity before I would get enough biotin intake.
For you, that is possible. That's interesting. I guess, what do you take? 40 micrograms, 50 micrograms?
Yeah, 10,000 micrograms or 10 million nanograms of biotin per day.
That sounds highly anabolic for your hair, I guess.
Yeah, maybe this is why I'm losing my hair all along. It's just biotin deficiency.
Probably not just biotin. Do you think you'd have this much hair if you were born female?
Probably have more.
Probably so, wouldn't you?
So you think the gender difference is playing a role there?
Probably so, although it could be advantageous from like a social media perspective to sell biotin supplementation to everyone by correctly saying that it is helping with your hair growth. Because yeah, for 99%+ of people, it's not going to make any clinically significant difference for hair growth. But for you, it likely is.
It'll be interesting to watch. I think I'm about a month in at this point. Haven't noticed things directly one way or the other. And of course, there's a lot of variables there, but we'll do an update podcast sometime mm-hmm. down the road to go over those things.
Do you think divulging this personal health information affects your sexual marketplace value for potential suitors?
I'm glad I don't have to worry about that.
He's married, by the way, not to me.
Yeah, my wife and I actually have the same HFE gene mutation. So fortunately, it's not the main gene pair, but I've talked about this on the podcast before.
If we're unable to manage postpartum hemorrhage in the future, any potential female offspring of yours will be highly adapted.
Yeah, if society collapses and we have to revert to our prepping podcast strategy.
Yeah.
We did that one a while back.
Is there like a preppers only dating service? You have to have an HFE mutation.
Yeah. I mean, iron is a more valuable commodity that can't just be made into supplements.
Mm-hmm. Wow, we went way off base
anyway,
there.
We talked about things to eat, now things not to eat if you want to get enough biotin. Egg whites. And this is something that I've actually done in the past. The pasteurized liquid egg whites, super easy way to get more protein in. I think with cooking, you do denature the protein there, assuming that it's cooked thoroughly.
Yes.
But I have actually drank these liquid egg whites.
I remember seeing the More Plates, More Dates video on this probably 5-6 years ago. And I have also drank liquid egg whites.
And this is probably why a lot of bodybuilders are bald, right?
More Plates, More Dates made you bald by suggesting to drink liquid egg whites. Actually, he gets credit for, he actually talked about a potential biotin insufficiency or deficiency mm-hmm. if you very regularly do this. Probably not why all bodybuilders are bald.
Other factors at play there.
Yep.
But yeah, it's a thing like don't do this in general or check your biotin levels if you do, and probably don't do this at all if you have a known mutation.
Yeah. Speaking of mutations, if you had to have a metabolic disease, how does this rate? Like, I guess on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most concerning, 1 being the least concerning, where would this rate?
So you said 10 being the most concerning?
The most concerning. Yeah, like Pompe's disease.
Yeah, this is a 1 out of 10. I highly recommend it. And I found this paper titled Biotinidase Deficiency. If you have an inherited metabolic disease, this is the one to have. And again, metabolic disease, I don't think that I'm on the disease spectrum, but there could be a sort of subclinical deficiency there.
Yep.
And we'll go through some of the interesting points about that. So obviously, if it is a homozygous mutation, then these children and babies will require lifelong supplementation in order for normal development of hearing, vision, the neurological system to develop normally. So this says, prior to treatment, concentrations of individuals with profound biotinidase deficiency may be decreased or in the low normal range. Isn't low normal still normal?
That's pretty debatable. I would argue any low normal value, lab value, warrants an explanation. Whether it is inaccurate laboratory assay or whether it is poor lifestyle or whether it is genetic mutation one way or another.
Biotin supplementation.
Yeah, or biotin supplementation. The lower it is, the more it makes sense to supplement. But for, I suppose, even for heterozygotes or carriers, why not supplement? What's the downside of supplementing? Slightly higher amino assay biomarkers of certain sorts?
Yeah, and potentially adverse effects. So personally, for myself, I can't tell any difference in my day-to-day taking 10 million nanograms of biotin versus taking none. But some people, I think this one is notorious for causing some upset stomach or some nausea. Mm-hmm. I do take them usually after breakfast, if I'm thinking about my day-to-day routine, so I don't know if that makes a difference or not. But in any case, I haven't had any adverse effects as far as I know. We'll go through some of the lab values in a bit. But this also notes that if someone is being appropriately treated, they're always going to have elevated concentrations in urine and in the serum. So that's not a reliable way to sort of track the disease state or if the treatment is correcting the deficiency. Unless I think there's something in there about non-compliance. So I suppose now that my doctor will be checking my biotin levels to make sure that I'm compliant with my supplementation.
Maybe not. What does it mean by enzymatic activity? It says you should track enzymatic activity to see kind of like where your phenotype is. Because usually when you check like an MTHFR, you just see if you have, one or two mutations. And you don't worry about how much that is doing, or do you?
Some people do.
The answer is yes, you do. And we'll link our MTHFR podcast below, where we also kind of talk about enzymatic activity, which we measure by proxy with homocysteine and methylmalonic acid levels. But I did think that it was interesting that it mentioned that this is kind of like the gold standard for which to base treatment decisions by.
Yeah, because the genotype doesn't always match the phenotype. So the phenotype is, hey, we've got this enzyme measured in the blood. What is its activity level in comparison to what we'd expect? Is it 10% of what we'd expect? Is it 60% of what we'd expect? So I'll have that test done and then determine whether I need to take a biotin supplement. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, I think it's reasonable with very little downside and no perceivable side effects to continue with supplementation. There's a little bit of information about carnitine, which I find kind of counterintuitive here, but there's a lot of biochemistry there. So probably a PhD in specifically like biotin metabolism or carnitine metabolism would be able to tell us more, but there may be some concern for carnitine depletion in people who are biotin deficient, whether that's by malnutrition or by having a mutation in the enzyme.
Yeah, or potentially less synthesis of free fatty acids or less processing of free fatty acids. I think inborn error of metabolism, especially with triglyceride level variation, carnitine and shunting fuel into the cell and not just into the cell, into the mitochondria is kind of one of the first empiric treatment mechanisms I think of, especially if there's hypertriglyceridemia. But anyway, that's a bit of a rabbit trail there. I guess in other testing that you've done so far, you know, you're on 10,000 micrograms or 10 million nanograms of biotin. This is probably just wildly skewing your labs everywhere.
You would think so based on what you hear people blame on biotin. And I'm sure the results vary from lab to lab, but I have a number of labs I just happened to recently get through Vibrant America. It was top-notch experience, got the results back pretty quickly. And I have a free T4, free T3, a TSH, a ferritin, a cortisol, estradiol, and a prolactin and a vitamin D, all of which there are claims that biotin can interfere with these. So examine.com listed out all of these markers. And it's really interesting because you have my data point, given the prior data point was from, let's say, 2022, I believe, was when the last time I went through Vibrant is. But you can see how consistent these labs are. So,
and you can order all these on GilletteHealth.com. If you click order labs, we'll promote that. But even if you're not a clinic member, but yeah, we'll post these up on the screen and you can see how these have trended. And in general, they just haven't, except something kind of happened to your ferritin, which I don't know if that's due to biotin or not.
Yeah, this is probably more due to some HCG and also due to some PRP. So some iron loss in the blood there. Ferritin was around 50, so 56.
Yep.
So I'm not quite ferritin deficient. I think they don't consider deficiency until you're below 30. But when you get to be around 50, you may have some concerns about your sort of maximum exercise capacity.
Those HFE SNPs really aren't very clinically penetrant. Or perhaps it's just the phlebotomy of various sorts.
Yeah, ferritin up to this point has not climbed too much. But my iron binding capacities, when I'm not taking HCG, tend to be very low.
It does look like your TSH went up by, what is that, 0.2, 0.3? So it did go up.
Yeah, so it was probably like a 2.9 or something like that previously, and now it's at a 3.6. So far, my TSH appears to be unaffected by the relatively large dose of the biotin. Mm-hmm. And then you actually had sort of the opposite happen with the free T4.
Yep. Free T4, free T3, relatively stable. Maybe a touch decreased, so it's definitely not a case. I've seen case studies of biotin supplementation causing hyperthyroidism, and that is definitely not happening in your case.
Yeah, and one of the things to note is if you're a clinician or if you're a patient on this side, you have to think, does this lab match up with my clinical presentation or like how I'm feeling or symptoms that I'm having? So even if my TSH was 200, I'm not going to think anything based off of a single lab value in the absence of symptoms that would corroborate that. So, you know, if you do have biotin that's skewing something, you know, educate the patient. Yep. Hey, pause your biotin for 3 days. 3 days isn't going to make or break anything. It's probably not even helping your hair growth or hair loss. So cut it out for a few days. We'll recheck things. And sometimes it could be the biotin. Sometimes it could be a lab error because they're very rare, but unfortunately they do happen from time to time.
There's a lot of other biomarkers that can be skewed by biotin supplementation, but I believe most, if not all of these, are immunoassays to where it's kind of cross-detecting, and when it fluoresces or whatnot, the biotin makes it seem usually stronger. So we'll list those in the comment, in the description as well.
Yeah, and I didn't have these drawn. I wasn't having any cardiac symptoms, so I didn't have a CK or a troponin. If I was having those drawn, I would probably be in a hospital, not walking into a Vibrant laboratory.
Yeah, hopefully it would be in a hospital.
You manage my outpatient, right?
I don't know about that. So fortunately, that is not the case. So yeah, I guess doing a podcast on biotin, like, you know, you're taking biotin, that's a great representative. We probably are selling supplementation with a discount code because it is a $6.5 billion industry estimated by 2030. Or perhaps this will knock that estimated value back a bit.
Yeah, I did call it a boring B vitamin. So maybe they're not going to reach that $6.5 billion. In any case, you know, now it is a $3.6 billion as of last year, 2023. Mm-hmm. And I think it's overrated in terms of hair growth, nail growth, skin quality. Certainly there are cases where people are like, oh, I started doing this and I noticed this result. And I don't want to say that it could never be helpful, but compared to something like just a high quality collagen protein, or just a high protein intake in general, it's probably not doing a whole lot.
Yeah, that's a good summary. So another notch in the belt for individualized medicine and precision testing. Hopefully that gives people plenty of takeaways. If the only takeaway is most of them are probably not a great candidate for biotin supplementation.
Yep. And to be clear, I'm not getting any organic acid testing to look at how this biotin is affecting things. I'm going to follow the sort of standard of care and looking at the enzyme and doing what makes sense.
Yeah. For any questions or comments, or if you want to share your inborn error of metabolism, comment below on Instagram or YouTube or whatnot. Thank you for your time. Thank you for listening. May God bless you with health and happiness.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.